The Vixens booked their spot in the 2020 Suncorp Super Netball Grand Final, and the Fever ended the Swifts' hopes of going back-to-back. We'll discuss all the action on this week's episode of the Centre Pass Podcast. Welcome to the Centre Pass Podcast, brought to you by Netball Draft Central. My name is Jared Gardner, and as always, I'm joined by Taylor Mulkey and Sophie Taylor. And we are into the finals of this 2020 Suncorp Super Netball season. And Taylor, the Fever made a thrilling comeback to end the Swifts' hopes of going back-to-back.
Yeah, it was a really, really big win, and I think it was just a gutsy effort. Stacey Marinkovic made some big changes that I didn't expect coming but were definitely warranted, and they really paid off for her. And I think that that's not only the exciting part for the Fever, but so too the Australian Diamonds when she gets the opportunity to actually coach an international series, even though we won't be having one this year. But I definitely think that it's kind of that precursor to this is what Marinkovic has the ability to do, and more so that she has the confidence to back in her players. And it was a great win by the Fever.
Yeah, it certainly was. And Sophie, the Melbourne Vixens have booked their spot in the 2020 Grand Final with a pretty comprehensive victory over the Sunshine Coast Lightning. It's looking pretty good for the Vixens in 2020.
Yeah, that win was very exciting. There were certainly some moments where I was like, I don't really know how to feel here, especially kind of the first and last quarter. Obviously, it got to the point where in the last quarter, you knew that the Lightning weren't going to come back. It was more about the Vixens putting in a four-quarter effort. And unfortunately, they weren't able to. But you think about how it was Liz Watson's real return from injury, played a full game out in there and still didn't look quite right. And then you have someone like Kate Eddy missing as well. So having a young gun in the mix, Kate Maloney went down with an ankle injury too, and the Vixens still came out with a pretty comprehensive win. So I don't think there's too much for me as a Vixens fan to complain about in this one.
Yeah, definitely not. And that is the game we will get into first up. It was the Vixens 63 defeating the Lightning 47. So pretty comprehensive. They did win the first three quarters, and as you said, Sophie, the Lightning were able to get on top in the last quarter, 17-13, but in the end didn't have much of an impact on the overall result. Something else you said, Kate Eddy obviously missed this one with injury, and it was disappointing to see that she was going to miss out. Obviously, we saw that she missed out on the 2019 final series with the Swifts and wasn't able to take part in that premiership run. But Ali Smith came on and did a really good job for the Vixens, and it was just a really impressive performance.
Yeah, you kind of hope that for Eddie it's not a severe injury or that it's a reoccurring injury in the regard that she had the moon boot on and the crutches. So clearly an ankle or Achilles or something to do with that area. And it's almost that in the back of your head going, oh gosh, you kind of hope that she makes it out there come grand final day, because it'd be absolutely heartbreaking to think that she's missed two premiership opportunities. But on the flip side, what a great opportunity for Ali Smith. She came out and absolutely dominated. I think often comparisons can be made between players, and she boasts a very different skill set to that of Eddy, and she's more of an off-the-body attacking style player and was really strong through that transition through the midcourt, which in turn actually helped, like Soph said, the fact that Liz Watson was returning from injury, because Ali Smith was able to lighten that load in that centre third. Kate Maloney, as Soph also said, went down with a bit of an ankle injury. So the fact that Smith kind of, A, being so young, and B, just understood that, okay, the players around me need to step up, and she well and truly delivered, which for Vixens fans and actual just netball fans across the country would be really excited to see.
Yeah, I really, really liked what I saw of Ali Smith last year in the ANL, the VNL and the M League, actually. So she was really on my radar when I saw that she was going up to Queensland. I was like, this is actually a really, really good opportunity for her, obviously learning off those players down back. And she really showcased her kind of, I guess, explosiveness on the weekend. I really, really liked that because she had that half game against the Lightning in the last round of the season, she actually knew what she needed to do better to win against Laura Sherrian this time round. And I think she really did that. She shut down that easy avenue to goal, those that easiness of getting to circle edge, which is something that Sherrian is really, really good at doing. And you look at that second quarter from the Vixens, 16 goals to 7, limiting the likes of Steph Wood and Kara Konen to 7 goals in a quarter, or maybe it was Peace Proskovia, I can't remember, however many goals there were in the circle. And it's not just down to Smith. You look at someone like Jo Weston, and she was an absolute menace. Emily Mannix down back, she was another who looked at what she needed to improve on from the previous week and just put it into practice straight away. I was really, really impressed with the defense, with the defensive work from the Vixens. And at the end of the day, there were very little bumpy patches for the Vixens and very little disconnects across the entire court. And I think the fact that they're able to play through any of those minor niggles in there, whether it's injury, Al McDonald coming on for 10 minutes or 9 minutes or something in there to take the court while Kate Maloney was down and not skip a beat. I was just really, really impressed with the Vixens.
I wish people could see her smile. She's grinning like a Cheshire cat right now. Like you could,
I was wearing my scarf.
You cannot wipe the smile off her face.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really blame her when you've booked a spot in the grand final. It's something to be happy about. And I think just to wrap it up, in terms of the Vixens, I also was really impressed with their defensive capabilities. And I know Jo Weston and Emily Mannix are a combination which we've spoken about many times, and obviously we spoke with Emily last week on the podcast about playing together with Joe, and they gave up 15 penalties overall in this game, and Pums and Wayne on the other side of the court gave up 21 on her own. So they were just really clean and just getting hands over the ball, and yeah, it went a long way to the Vixens getting the win. Also up the other end, it was good to see Maui Comwenda kind of make a bit of a switch and go into goal attack for a little bit. It was a bit different and something we haven't seen before, but it was great to see, and it looked like she was excited to be there as well. So she had a great performance, 31 of 32 shooting, and really dominant for the Vixens up there. We'll just switch over to the Lightning now, and it was pretty disappointing, obviously. 16 points the margin in the end. It's not the way you want to kind of start off your finals campaign. And obviously they only went down to the Vixens by 4 in round 14. So what was the difference in, like, what do you guys think the difference was in terms of the Lightning from round 14 to week one of finals?
I think it was an incredibly lackluster performance from the Lightning. And as harsh as that sounds, I don't think that they came out with any form of intensity, and defensively they were lacking. As soon as Pumza Moeni starts to build up those contacts, she kind of then goes back into her shell. So therefore, Carla Pretorius has to try and overcompensate. And you could see that because she was trying to run everywhere, but wasn't actually manning up on Katie Thwaites. And Thwaites had another strong performance. So I think overall, the Lightning kind of just looked out of sorts from the first whistle, and then they were never able to gain that composure. And I think another thing that's starting to creep into the Lightning is once the lead starts to blow out, they're not able to peg it back anymore. Teams have kind of figured out that they're going to look for Steph Wood when it comes to the super shot time. So Weston and Mannix both know that they just have to double down on Wood, and then effectively Konen will only take that one shot. So I think overall, I think it was a defense. It was the effort from the Vixens that really rattled the Lightning, and they couldn't find any form of continuity. And I think often the Lightning rely too heavily on their big names to kind of stand up and change the course of the game, and they haven't been able to do that as of late. So I think that that's definitely something that they'll be hoping to rectify come this game, especially you look at the likes of Laura Sherrian. As harsh as it might sound, I think she's been down on her standards. She definitely hasn't reached the highs that she had of last year, and that's shown in this Lightning front end when they haven't been able to use their signature ball speed. They haven't been able to hit circle edge with a lot of precision, and therefore Laura Langman's getting drawn into that and she can't help out defensively. So it's a lot of just little bits and pieces falling apart, which makes the entire team kind of dip, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just really needed to cough there. Yeah, I'm kind of the same in there, what you were saying about those those high caliber, those top players, they're looking for those players to step up. And the difficulty is when you've got players like Sherrian and Langman who are dropping easy balls in the first quarter, the two of them racked up 15 general play turnovers between them. And then you look at Kara Konen and Steph Wood, five apiece. I mean, it wasn't just the balls that they were dropping, but it was also the passes. Things just weren't clicking. And I mean, a lot of that is due to, I mean, the long arm brigade of the Vixens. They love getting their arms up. And I think the thing that I noticed in this game was that the Lightning weren't doing the same down the court. They didn't have that same pressure on the Vixens. They allowed them to chip the ball around far too easily. And that's not something that we see from the Lightning very, very often. And I think they just kind of didn't have everything sorted from the first quarter. They knew that the Vixens had beaten them both times they played this season and kind of went in going, not sure if we'll go too well here. And then, yeah, relying too much on Steph Wood there to put up those super shots. And, I mean, she put up 3 from 7. So she definitely put up enough shots for them to be getting close. Like, and if she had been putting those up earlier, if she'd been able to put them up in the second quarter before the Vixens kind of caught on that she was taking those shots, great. But it just wasn't enough. And, yeah, the Lightning just – it wasn't just a really, really convincing performance from the Vixens. It was also a really – average performance from the Lightning. And I think full credit to the Vixens for forcing the Lightning into these errors that they don't usually make.
Yeah, I think it was a really disappointing performance for the Lightning, and it's something they want to improve on come the preliminary final in the coming week. But the task doesn't get any easier for them. They come up against the Fever, and we'll move on to their match now. The Fever defeating the Swifts 67-62 in the minor semi-final. And this was really off the back of a dominant second half, 38-26 in the second half alone, and just a crazy performance, and led by Jahneel Fowler as always. It's just, they're a really dangerous side, the Fever, and I could definitely see them making the grand final.
Yeah, I'm stressed about the grand final because I think the Fever will have all the confidence after that huge comeback. They've seen teams execute those comebacks against them, and this is really one of the only times where they've been able to do it back and get a win on the board. And they were really, really convincing in the second half. The first half was a real worry. You were looking at the Swifts going, oh my God, this is the first kind of complete performance we've seen from them, and then it kind of all fell apart, which was really frustrating and disappointing because, I mean, it's not just as a Vixens fan that I wanted the Swifts to beat the Fever. It was just like, I really, really like the Swifts outfit. I think they're really, really convincing. They've certainly been down on their output compared to last year, but I thought that they kind of had the form in this game to get over the line, and then to see the Fever just completely rally and come back into it like that was insane. It was really, really that excellent second half from the Fever. That was so convincing, and there was no stopping them once they got going.
Well, I'll touch on that in the terms of, I think that the second half, it was the changes, as I mentioned at the start, that Marinkovic pulled. The fact that she swapped Verity Charles into that wing attack position, and you could see that Emma Kosh wasn't really able to kind of compete and deliver at that standard, which is fair enough. She's only still young and finding her feet in that sort of thing. So to pull the trigger and go, okay, Charles into wing attack, rearrange a few things. And of course, it's be silly of me not to mention Sunde Arihang, who came on in goal defense. She single-handedly really sparked that defensive unit of the Fever. And not only that, this is a really interesting thing that I found, is that she only allowed her direct goal attack, exact opposition. So I think it was Housby and Garbin, albeit Garbin was only on for a couple of minutes. In that whole second half, they goal attack only shot 5 goals. So she completely shut them out of the game. And it's just such an exciting prospect to think that she was sitting on the bench for that half and then came on and within a blink of an eye just absolutely dominated. And I think having Stacey Francis in that wing defense position also really shut down the Swifts. So for the Fever, it's a really really convincing performance. But on the flip side for the Swifts, I think they'll be really disappointed, especially with that second half. For me, I felt like their legs just completely and utterly fell off. The movement was next to nothing. And especially in that attack end, they lacked that drive and that real intensity that we're so used to seeing. And they also lacked the confidence. I thought they looked really good when they had Taylor Fraser on the court for a little bit. I think she kind of added that little bit of pizzazz and excitement in the front end. And it also gave someone like Jess Anstis something to think about, because Anstis is kind of that on-the-body physical type, whereas Fraser wants to run. So it was a really interesting duel. But yeah, I kind of don't know where to go with the Swifts, but definitely with the Fever, they'll definitely be riding a wave of confidence, and they know that they can absolutely annihilate the Lightning. They've done so. What were your thoughts, Jared?
Yeah, I think I was about to touch on that point. They go into this preliminary final against the Lightning full of confidence, and the two matches they played this season, in round 8, they defeated the Lightning 80-56, and then in round 11, it was 72-52. So 24 points and 20 points in two matches. It's just absolutely crazy, and it's a big hill to climb for the Lightning to turn those results around. Just finally, I think both of you have touched on the defensive capabilities, Taylor more so, especially with Sunday Ayang. But I think specifically, you look at that kind of last 5 minutes of the third quarter, just after Sam Wallace shoots a goal to put the Swifts up by 9 points. The Swifts only attempted 3 more shots for the entire quarter, and 2 of those were misses by Helen Housby, and Sam Wallace was able to get a goal right on the three-quarter time siren. But in that period, the Fever had gone down the other end and put on 10 points of their own. So scores tied at three-quarter time, and that's really just down to Sunday Ayang and Courtney Bruce and just that that defensive unit for the Fever, just doing a mountain of work and really willing them into that game and giving them a chance to make a run and doing so in that last quarter. It was just such an impressive performance. And yeah, I think, as I said just a little bit earlier, two matches this season between these two sides and a combined margin of 44 goals in favour of the Fever. Do you guys think there's any way that the Lightning can overturn that sort of deficit?
I was going to touch on this briefly, because what I think the Swifts did really, really well in the first quarter was that they isolated that 2-on-1 with Maddie Turner and Sarah Clough on Janelle Fowler. And they kind of let Alice Teague-Neal do what she had to do, forced her away from the post so she couldn't get any of those easy goals, but also forced her to take those longer bombs and kind of made little errors by putting that hands over pressure. I mean, you look at the long arms of those two, they can do so much and be really, really tight in defense, but also come off the body and get those really awesome deflections. And what kind of didn't work for the Swifts is that they were so good at that in the first quarter, the Fever caught on and then the Swifts didn't adjust. They just let Alice Teague-Neal continue to do what she does best, which is being a playmaker. And I don't think Alice Teague-Neal necessarily had an amazing performance, but she was given too much of an opportunity to dictate the play. And I think what the Lightning will need to do this week, we know that they would have been watching this game. You know that they're going to be looking at every single aspect that the Swifts did early on to try and negate anything that the Fever do out the front. And what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to try and do that same thing. Isolate Janelle Fowler, put her on her own, allow Alice Teague-Neal to do a little bit of the playmaking out the front, probably not as much, make her work a lot harder to get into the circle. And if they can do that, if Carla Pretorius in particular can do that and force those errors and force them early and really make the Fever work to get into the goal circle, I think they do have a good chance. We know how explosive their defense can be, but with everything against them, they've had huge losses to the Vixens and Fever now in both, like, or not so much both games throughout the season. Fever both games throughout the season, came back in round 14 against the Vixens, but it was a big margin before the comeback. I think the Fever will be too good this round, and that kind of worries me because they're the only team that have come close to beating the Vixens.
For me, I think it's a bit of a lack of versatility for the Lightning in the sense that if things aren't going to plan, who do they have to bring on? So realistically, in the prelim, they're not going to bring on someone like Annika Lee Jones to kind of combat the height of Jeneil Fowler. Therefore, it's going to have to be Pumza Mwaini and Carla Pretorius. And I think it's fair to say that Pretorius has probably been down on her on a normal lofty standards. And like you said there, so she'll have to put in the hard yards to stop Alice Teague-Neild, who's really got that taste for it now and knows what she has to do to deliver. So I think that in defence-wise, they're going to struggle to kind of combat that high ball. And the fact that even last round when they were playing the Vixens, they didn't put any transitional defence on. So the fact that the Fever have so many speedy midquarters that within a blink of an eye, the ball can be down the other end of the court is a real worry. And then you look up the other end, and it's not new news to know that Steph Wood doesn't really like that physicality. You saw that on the weekend with Joe Weston giving her that good old nickel. I personally love a good bit of nickel. I think it's healthy for the game. As a goaler, they don't like it.
You can tell Taylor's a defender.
Yeah. Always a nice little cheeky niggle. There's nothing wrong with it. But from that perspective, someone like Stacey Francis is going to grind her gears. And the same with Courtney Bruce up against Kara Konen, who is still young and still developing that physicality and that kind of stronger body. So I think there's a lot of areas that the Fever can exploit and have exploited. And if the Lightning don't come out with that real intensity from the get-go, it could be a blowout. But Jared, I'm interested to see your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on board with what the two of you have said. I don't think there really is any chance for the Lightning to win this game, and that does sound pretty harsh, but you just look at what's happened so far this season and how the Lightning played in comparison to the Fever just in the semifinals, in their respective semifinals alone. So I think you make a great point, Taylor, in the fact of that physicality, especially with a shooting combination of Steph Wood and Kara Konen, who, yeah, you kind of can tell don't really like that physical play, and Kara Konen especially being such a young player and really only just finding her feet at Super Netball level this season, going up against Courtney Bruce, who has played on some of the biggest stages in international netball. It's going to be a really tough matchup, and yeah, I just don't really see any way that the Lightning can win this one. It'd need like an absolute miracle from a Laura Langman type to kind of get a win for this one. So yeah, I'm fully on the Fever band.
I'm kind of picturing now like Collingwood v West Coast, where no one tipped the Pies in, and then somehow they won by a point. Like if that happens.
Of course you have to bring the footy references.
I mean, it was a great win, but more so in the fact that no one is backing them, but yet they shouldn't be underestimated in the fact that they are two-time premiers for a reason, and they did knock off the Fever in that grand final. So there is that history of, you know, there's that history of finals and competitiveness. So well, I think
they've made three grand finals in three prior seasons to this season. I think that can't be discredited. Yeah.
Yeah. So my point being that they may be written off, but there is a slim chance.
Yeah, I think Taylor, there'll be a pretty big overlap of West Coast Fever supporters and West Coast Eagles supporters. So you might have pissed off a few people with that one.
What's new?
We'll have to see how this game does go on the weekend. It will be a great game, whichever way the result does go. But we will move on now. We're just going to, instead of doing a team of the week this week, we thought it'd be a bit useless with only two matches. We're just going to go around the three of us and just have a look at one player that has really impressed us over the semi-final weekend. Sophie, I might start with you.
Okay. Well, see, I had a few names in the ring. I think I have to go with Sunday Arianne. I had Ali Smith in there too, and I had Maui Kumwenda because I just love Maui Kumwenda. She's like my favorite person. She's so funny. But I think I have to go Sunday Arianne. And she just came out and absolutely killed it. And I mean, it's kind of that thing of you have no expectations. When you're a young player, a training partner no less, you have no expectations. So you can just go out there and do as good as you possibly can. If you let a few balls go, that's fine because you're a first year player and you're a training partner. This is just getting exposure. And I think she really proved that the pathways that are going on in Australia, and I feel like I'm a broken record about this now, the pathways are really, really producing some excellent players. And I think more credit needs to be given to the pathways for that by playing these players. And so I think Sunday Ariang, five intercepts in 30 minutes of netball to turn around that game, I think she was just incredible. So full credit to her.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of go along that defensive vein as well, but instead I'm going to go with Emily Mannix. I think she was just a really strong force down back for the Vixens. She kind of took away the learnings from the previous week, put them into practice, and she really stopped Kara Konen and that signature kind of little pop out that she does, a little dodge along the baseline, which she's so strong at. She completely halted that and made the Lightning work in overdrive. And not only that, she got hands to plenty of balls. She ended up with four intercepts and, you know, four gains thereabouts. It's a really impressive effort from her to kind of guide that whole defensive unit, especially without the likes of Kate Eddy at the front. She put her hand up and led from the front or back, either way.
Yeah, I think she had an awesome game. And obviously we did speak to her last week ahead of the semifinal. So if you haven't listened to that chat, do go back and have a listen to that, because it was great to get an insight from her into the Vixens season. And I think they're pretty keen on, they don't want to leave Brisbane or Queensland without that premiership trophy. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can bring that home. Just for mine, I might go with a pretty stock standard one, and I might just go with Janelle Fiala. I think 55 of 57 in a final, she's just dominated for what, the three seasons she's been in the Suncorp Super Netball competition, and continues to just do it on the big stage. And I think shot her 5,000th National League point. I don't think it was shot, but 5,000th.
And it was her 100th.
Yeah, and in her 100th National League game. So yeah, it was a great mark, but two great milestones for Janelle Fiala, and it's just capped off another dominant season, and hopefully can lead the Fever to at least a grand final berth on the weekend. Moving on now, and outside of the finals chat, there has been a bit of news come out of Collingwood in the last week, and it was unfortunately about 20 minutes after we finished recording our last episode, the announcement that Rob Wright's contract will not be renewed for 2021. And this was one that, not really a surprise in the grand scheme of things. I think obviously it was a disappointing season for the Magpies and finish at the bottom of the ladder. And I think it was only one win for the season. So while they did lose a wealth of experience and they did have a lot of young players coming through, it's just been another disappointing season for the Magpies. And is there, I don't think there's been any front runners come out so far, but is there anyone, any names that either of you two might want to throw up as possible candidates for the Magpies job?
I'm kind of thinking along the line of giving it to the assistant coaches. We saw Nicole Richardson and Kate Upton last year kind of step up to the plate, and I think that they more or less prove that they are capable and definitely have the support of the girls and the team and the Collingwood faithful behind them, because I think that they just offered a completely different outlook on things, and you could see that the way that they coached and different things like that. And I think a fresh face will do the Pies well, especially considering, or not a fresh face, I should say, and a familiar face, but in a fresh role will do the Pies well, because I feel like there's been too much chopping and changing already, not only in the terms of coaches, but in terms of players and things like that. So some type of continuity could probably do them well. And if they already know the structures and expectations from the assistant coaches, and it, for me, it's like that, it's a seamless transition into that next step. And I would go with them, but clearly I'm not the one making decisions. So who knows what's next?
Yeah, I'm really intrigued to see what they do there, because obviously, like you said, Richardson and Upton really proved when Rob Wright was away last season. I think it was the two rounds that he wasn't at matches they won. And I agree that they're both really, really suitable candidates. I do wonder, though, whether Collingwood will just go for a complete fresh look, though. Obviously, they've had the tactical mind of Rob Wright for a few seasons now, and obviously the likes of Richardson and Upton kind of standing back behind him and pulling the strings in different patches, obviously watching them when they coach at tactical timeouts. But yeah, I do wonder whether they'll go for someone completely different. I'd have absolutely no clue who. I don't really have the knowledge of the coaches in that way, but I think that there's also a huge chance that they'll just completely go elsewhere, look for a complete fresh start, see if they can change up more of that tactical look rather than go back to those assistant coaches who potentially could carry on that same vein as what they've already been doing.
Yeah, and I think off coaching, I think the signs for the Magpies towards the end of the season were getting better. Obviously, you get another year of Jeeva Mentor and Jodie Ann Ward and also kind of Matilda Garrett thrown in there in defence. That combination growing, and I think Jodie Ann Ward especially really came into her own in the second half of the season and did a good job. And we'll see if there's any changes in terms of rosters and players coming in. But yeah, I think it probably is up to one of the assistants to step up into that head coaching role. And will be interesting to see what they do in the 2021 Suncorp Super Netball season for the Magpies. But that is all we do have time for this week on the Centre Pass podcast. Do go follow us on Twitter at Centre Pass Pod. Let us know where you're watching the finals from and what you're thinking of the games. And do go to netball.draftcentral.com.au for all your world netball news and reviews. And we'll speak to you next week.